But we are finishing off the Emuna topics. So we're going to change track a little bit. The Emuna we discussed so far was one of rational Emuna, I guess you could say, proofs. Emuna is proofs, things which are tangible. And that's how we discussed last class. From the Emuna, right from Umnut, it's a trade, it's a career, something you can work on, which is true and good. We're going to finish that off in a moment. And then we're going to take it to a completely different area. And it's an emunah which you can't put your finger on and which is not rational, quote unquote, per se. Are we following? So we're going to change tracks a little bit. We're going from the misnagd shecha Torah, the basic rational Rambam type proof. And we're going to move into the more, I don't want to say mystical, but less tangible form of emunah, which we all feel sometimes, you know? The NCSY Shabbaton, we're all singing Mosi Shabbos, and you feel a little spiritual, you know. That's where we go to. But there's source on that as well. Okay, so let's just finish off the last class. There's something fascinating the Ramban says, top of age 18. Look at this amazing Ramban. And the Ramban says the following. This is in Bereishis, Chafaf Hei. He says that the Avos were not obligated to keep the Torah. The Avos and Imahos were not mechuyav to keep the Torah. Why? Because the Torah had not been given. Then how exactly did they know the Torah? I don't know. But somehow they did. They were able to figure out the mitzvahs of the Torah, but they were not chayav of the Torah. It says the Ramban, and this actually goes in line with other Rambans, because the Ramban was very into Eretz Yisrael, and actually lists living in Eretz Yisrael as a mitzvah. He says that's only true when it came to the mitzvah in Eretz Yisrael. When it went to Eretz Yisrael, they had to keep the mitzvot. Okay? They were only chayav, actually right through history, another Ramban, I actually learned this in another class, I'm teaching here at Stern, that the Ramban actually says that all the mitzvahs are only meant to be kept in Eretz Yisrael. We keep mitzvahs outside as a rehearsal, as a preparation for Eretz Yisrael, for Olam Haba. That's a whole different... But the real essence, the mitzvahs were given to be kept in Eretz Yisrael. We get schar. We get reward for keeping mitzvahs outside of Eretz Yisrael, but really they're there for that. Here he's saying, he's going back pre-Har Sinai. Pre-Har Sinai, they were not obligated in the Torah. He says, but the Avot were only in Eretz Yisrael, but there is an exception. Okay, there is an exception. An exception is Yosef. Yosef, says the Ramban, was obligated, was chayav, in one mitzvah, or maybe he wasn't chayav, but he took upon himself one mitzvah, Chutz La'aretz, because remember Yosef was sold into slavery, ended up in Mitzrayim, with his two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. Okay, so there he is. He's married the child of Potiphar, his daughter, who actually came from Jewish stock originally. Where she came from is not for now, but it's interesting. And he's living, what does he decide to do? So the Ramban, the one mitzvah that Yosef decides to keep chutz la'aretz is Shabbos. Let's have a look why. The Yosef darshu sheya mishamer sa Shabbos. Says the Ramban, Yosef in Mitzrayim kept Shabbos. The rest of the avos only kept the mitzvahs when they were in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? The avos Eretz Yisrael. Yosef, he was not chayav, but in Mitzrayim he kept Shabbos. Why would that be? Why was that one selected? Let me just finish off the Ramban. Let him prove his point. Afilu Mitzrayim, even in Egypt. Why? Well, we already said, Mipnei he shekula kenekol mitzvos, because Shabbos is equal to other mitzvahs. So actually what he was doing was keeping all the mitzvahs. How? By keeping Shabbos. That's answer number one of the Ramban. Because Shabbos is equal to all the mitzvahs. You keep Shabbos, keeping everything. Right? All levels of observance are found inside Shabbos, as we said. That's why it's the only ritual that we have, the only aegis in the Aseret Sedirot and the Ten Commandments, and therefore, by keeping Shabbos, it was like keeping everything. He didn't keep everything else, because he didn't have to. He's outside of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have to keep it. But Shabbos, he did. That's one. Lefi shehi aegis al chidush ha'olam, because it is a testimony, as we said already, on the creation of the world. V'haya osekein, he did this, lelamed et benav. Look at these amazing words. He did it for another reason. He wanted to teach his kids. Who is kids? Manasseh and Ephraim. Now, we're going to visit these two young boys later on, because they're going to play a part in Shabbos as well. Does anyone know where we mention? Actually, no one in this class personally knows the answer to this question, but they may have heard it. Why do I say that? Manasseh and Ephraim, where do we mention them? Yeah? When a father gives a bracha to the boys, that's right. We tell our Jewish women to be like Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. But we give the bracha to the boys, they should be like Manasseh and Ephraim. So those two young boys, we're going to see later when we get to Bircha Shabbos, the blessings of the Sabbath, we'll see why they stand out. But, so bear this information, this piece of information that we're looking at right now is going to be important. So what did he do? He kept Shabbos because he wanted to do something very important. He wanted to teach his kids. L'lamed et banav emunat briyat olam. That there is a God who created the world. Why was Yosef worried? What was Yosef's concern? Why was he concerned that he specifically kept Shabbos in order to teach his boys? What was the fear that Yosef, what was the concern, what was the challenge that Yosef had? They were outside of Israel, number one, and they were away from the rest of the family, yeah. Where was Yosef's brothers and all their kids and grandkids? They were in Canaan, they were in Eretz Yisrael. So here's Yosef, who's disconnected from his brothers, and his kids are disconnected from their cousins. He's got no Jewish community. He's cut off. What's he going to do? My kid's going to go off the derech. All the other boys, listen very carefully, all the other boys are running around worshipping idols, and they're hanging out of the Nile, and they're jumping in, they're acting like who knows what. And what does he say? He says, I've got to keep my kids on the derech. Does he choose kosher? I don't know. Does he do a tzedakah? Maybe. Not mentioned. What does he do to keep his kids on the right path? Meaning, to know that there's a God, one God, because the rest of Mitzrayim were doing many gods. Because, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu turns up to Paro. They got a whole yellow, a whole Google worth of gods knocking out over there. So what does he do? He says, you know what, I'm going to do the one mitzvah that is the best mitzvah to keep my kids doing what? Emunah, believing in one God, and that is Shabbos. Lohotzi, as he says, look at the words inside, I'm just showing the Rambam, in black and white I'm showing it to you. Lohotzi milibam, to take out from their hearts, kavanat avodah zarah, the direction, the kavanah of avodah zarah, the das ha-mitzrim, and the thought of the mitzrim. What methodology did Yosef use in Egypt to keep his kids on the derech? He said, I'm going to have to keep Shabbos. Was he obligated to? No, according to the Ramban, no. This is the Ramban's opinion, no. You don't have to, by the others say that Avot were not obligated to mitzvahs at all, which is why Yaakov married two sisters and other things. But over here, didn't have to keep Shabbos. He's outside of Israel, and he didn't have, so a double whammy, no matter, to all opinions. But he wanted to for his kids. Okay, bear that in mind. Hold Manasseh and Ephraim in your cerebellums. Oh, actually, probably your hippocampus, to be correct. Because we're going to visit those two young boys. They're going to play an integral part of our story of Shabbos. Yes?
Isn't there a thing that you can keep more mitzvahs?
This is not more mitzvahs. This is not more mitzvahs. This is the mitzvahs. There is an idea of bal tofes. We can't add to the mitzvahs. We're not adding. This isn't mitzvah 614. This is, so according to him, he didn't have to, but he voluntarily took on the mitzvah Shabbos. He wasn't adding to the mitzvahs. He wasn't adding to them. All he was doing was, I'm not obligated to, but I'm doing it because I need it. See, don't see mitzvahs as a good deed. See mitzvahs as the what I need. He's like, I need this. And by the way, it worked. Manasseh and Ephraim stayed on the derech. So much that we actually use it to bless our kids. We don't say that our boys should be like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Weird. They should be like Manasseh and Ephraim. Very strange. Right? Isn't that weird? Daughters, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Boys, Manasseh and Ephraim. As my son says every Friday night, who Manasseh and Ephraim? I'll do the whole story again. There's something unique about those two boys. It starts here. They were given a very unique and specific education that Yosef voluntarily took on. That closes last part of Emunah, but has opened the door to the next part of Emunah. So now we can get all NCSYE, Kumbaya. Let's see what our Shabbos can do for us. Let's have a look at the words of Yisrael Isser von Ponovich. He was a student of Rav Chaim Volozhin, and he wrote in Menucha and Kedusha the following. Okay, page 18. Let's follow the Hebrew. Biar she'alidei hergesh ha-kedusha. You can feel holiness on Shabbos. It's a feeling. I cannot prove this to you. It's a feeling. She'margishim b'Shabbos. Why is it only a feeling? Why can't I prove it? Because he says, be'em sus ha-neshama seira. We see on Shabbos we get an extra soul. What this extra soul is, God willing, we shall reach later on the semester, after the holidays. We should discuss the idea of an extra soul that is given, actually some say an expanded soul, that is given to the Jewish people on Shabbos, right? If they are mekabelit. Okay? So he's like, you know what? The holiness of Shabbat can be felt. How can you feel it? It's in the Neshama Yaseira. Ha'adam yachol lahagia. A person is able to reach. Liyeda, this is very interesting. To know, boro his God. So he's using the word of das. Das is usually based upon knowledge, information. He's like, you know what? Something unusual is going to happen. The feeling of Shabbos, which is inside your extra soul, whatever the extra soul is, right, is going to help you know something. We're tying together two things. This is beyond the proof of the brain. Up to now, we looked at brain proofs, right? We looked at the brain. We saw what is Emunah, what is Shabbos, different parts of history, and Emunah is connected to it. Something you can think about. It's a moachdika thing. It's in your seichel. Now he's like, you know what? Emunah doesn't just enter through the brain. It can also enter through the soul. This is a wild statement. He says like this. Fourth line down. Look at the Hebrew. The Hebrew is simple and beautiful. Avad Boro, whoever has tasted once, just once, the feeling of love for their God, Al Yedei HaNeshama Zu, through this extra Neshama of Shabbos, Afsha Kakach Saramenu, even though afterwards this extra soul leaves you, when does your extra soul leave you? Motzei Shabbos. That's why we all go crazy Motzei Shabbos, right? Because we can't handle it. That's why Saturday night's a big night out, because the soul, we have this vacuum, this void, this hole that has been left through the loss of the neshama on Motzei Shabbos. It's given to us on Erev Shabbos, and it's taken away from us on Motzei Shabbos. And this is the Gemara Shabbos. Gemara in Beitza says, Olamotzei Shabbos lokcha memenu. On Saturday night, it's taken away from us. Actually, the rabbis point out in that Gemara over there, it says, Vayenafash on Shabbos. Right? Hashem Vayenafash on Shabbos. And he rested, Vayenafash. So she said the word vayanafash is actually two words. Oi nefesh. What's oi mean? What does oi mean? Oi. Nefesh is my soul. Oi, my soul. The vayanafash is oi nefesh. My soul that comes to me is going to be taken away Saturday night. Oi, that's not good. That is not good. Motzei Shabbos, not good. Okay, so we have Havdalah. We revive ourselves with the besamim, with the light, with the wine, with bracha. That's what the whole idea of Havdalah is all about, right? To take away the oi from the vayinafash. Vay is of oi. You can put a cholam on top, right? Take away the patach, and it becomes an oi nefesh. So Motzei Shabbos, the soul is taken away from you. Mikol Makomi says, look at the bold print, follow inside. Hu eno tzarich shuv. Just by keeping this Shabbos, he is not going to need mikol yimechayav, his entire life, le'diat boro, knowledge of God, l'shum raya, any mental proof, sichlet, from the brain. V'lo lahamin avor kabbalas sfarim, and he isn't going to have to learn to believe through books. Ki im asma yodea hakol, because inside, he's going to know it. So we've now jumped to a whole different sphere, okay, that belief can come through sichlet, through brain process. He's like, Shabbos has a power to increase your belief without rational thoughts and process. Just the level of neshama that happens to you, we have to understand why this is. We have to understand why this is. There's something about Shabbos that allows this to happen. The Shabbos itself is going to help you do this. Is going to help you do this. It's going to help you know and believe there is a God. That is the power of Shabbos. Let's jump down a little bit further. He's going to give you a beautiful mashal metaphor for this. He gives, let me give an example. It's dark outside, it's early in the morning. You don't know when the sun's going to come out. You see a little amount of light come through a gap in the window, or a hole in the wall, or chalon, or a window, ala kotel on the wall. Mevin, you're going to know, very deep metaphors, by the way, shekvar zar chama. So let's say I'm not outdoors, I'm indoors and it's dark. How do I know if the sun has arisen in the sky? Because I see a little bit of light coming through the window. That little bit of light is going to be a proof to me that the sun has risen. Can I see the sun? No, I'm indoors, I'm trapped somewhere. But I can see a little hole, a little gap through the window. I see, oh, I know the sun has risen. He says, "Mikol makom shofet mizeh." You can judge from this. Al gadla berakiva godal ziva sham. You say, "Wow, you know if the sun's really bright. If the brighter that little bit of light that comes through, you know it's going to be a sunny day. If it's like a weak light, you know it's cloudy and the sun's not shining so much. How do you know this information? By seeing a little bit of shard of light that is coming through the window. Kacha mamish." He says, what is the nimshal to this mashal? He says like this. Avanotenu nasil mechisat barzel. Our sins act as a block. They're like a wall that keep out the light. Lemechisat barzel lahafsik beinenu shchinat ozenu. This, our sins block out Hashem's light. Right? Hashem's shchina entering our lives. He... just like a mother, menu, like a mother crouching over its young. Umiyad, but when we make a small little gap, you make a small little gap in the wall, right? Lekabel ora to capture the light. Tekef straight away. Tizrach aleinu lar ilanu choshchateinu. Suddenly the light's going to come in. It's going to lighten up all the darkness. And this actually helps us understand the great light comes from the holy places. It's a deep Kabbalistic idea, I guess, but this is what he's saying. He's like, our sins during the week, they block. We can't see the light of God. Comes along Shabbos, suddenly a little crack of light comes through, and you can know everything else. Shabbos comes as a little bit of light in our lives, and from that we can learn out everything else. So it's not so much that Shabbos has within all the answers. Shabbos is a gateway drug. It's a gateway drug. It's going to open up things a little bit, and through its existence, that little bit of light comes, and it's going to act as a proof to everything else, to Emunas Hashem. Just like the little bit of light that comes through the window is testifying about the greatness of the sun, so to a little bit of light, that light enters on Shabbos. That light is going to cut away through our sins, our weekday schmutz. It's going to take away the darkness around our souls and help us, boop, peek through. Some nice deep Torah there. Okay? Says the brother of the Maharal, page 19. And then we'll see an interesting letter to close this all up. And by the way, I'll tell you, I've seen this in my own eyes many, many times. I work mostly with non-from Jews. I work in Jewish outreach. What is the big thing you have to do to bring a Jew back? We all take him to Shabbos. Take him to Shabbos. Shabbaton. What do you take him to Shabbos for? Right? Take him to a kosher restaurant. I can do that too. Doesn't do it. Shabbos specifically, there's something about Shabbos that is going to reveal. And I've seen people, you know, learn that. And whatever, they question, they argue. Take him to Shabbos? Nothing to say. It just is. It does the job. It brings the Jew back. Shabbos, shuv, it brings all Jews back. Right? But you can see it with a non-observant Jew. But they'll say, what makes it? Shabbos did it for me. Shabbos is that light that brings a person back. All of us. Every single Jew. But Shabbos does the job. It answers all your questions without even asking them. Oh, I like that one. Write that one down. It answers all of our questions without even asking them. It just is. I feel good. Let's look at the brother of the Maharal, Rav Chaim ben Rav Bezalel. And he says, third line down, Ume'avat Hashem barach et amo Yisrael. It is God's love for the Jewish people. We discussed that idea. Okay, lasir milibam kol safek. Hashem is going to remove all doubt. What is doubt? Safek is the opposite of emunah. Emunah is absolute belief. Safek is doubt. Okay, safek is the same gematria as Amalek. Right? What did Amalek introduce into the world, that nation? The nation of doubt. Maybe yes, maybe no. So we want to remove safek from our lives. We want to know for sure. We want to know everything. We want to know about our lives. We want to know about God. We want to know about our relationships. We want to know. Right? That's emunah. The opposite of emunah is safek. How to remove safek from our hearts? This is belibam. Natan et Shabbat katsho. That he gives us the Shabbos. She ot brit beino beninu, which is the sign of the brit, of the covenant. We're going to come to those words later on. But in us, the Jewish people, says God, and that is why non-Jewish nations are given it. And he says, b'ma, bold print, fourth line down, end of the pasuk. B'ma sheyargish kol ish Yisrael, ba'atzmo shefa Elokim. Every single Jew can feel, we're talking about feeling now, you feel this shefa, this abundance, v'or panav kiritziso, v'simcha yaseiru, and a great happiness, shenofel alav, that's going to fall upon a person, b'li miskaven, without even trying. Miyad v'achnaso Shabbos. Shabbos comes in, the Jewish people are different. If you're Makabal Shabbos, you're a different creature. The Leil Shel Shabbos, and actually Erev Shabbos, Friday night, Kula Or V'Oz V'Ched V'Mimkamenu. It is all light. It's all joy that shines from a place. What is this place? Bilti Safek She'ein Zerag Nitzutza Or. And what you're actually getting is a small little spark of the Simcha from God's home and the same place that Nevuah comes from. That's where it's coming from. I don't know how he knows this, but he says the place where prophecy comes from, that's where this feeling is coming through on Shabbos. It's going to make a sense because we know that the Torah was given to the entire Jewish people on Shabbos and we all came prophets at that time. That's the one occasion in history that the entire Jewish people, that's all of our ancestors, became Nevi'im, became prophets. Right, at Yam Suf and at Har Sinai. So Har Sinai was actually a Shabbos. So what you're feeling on Shabbos is that feeling is actually a spark that comes from the place of prophecy. And prophecy is knowledge. And he says, you know what? We're not prophets. As one of my teachers used to say, the Jewish people are no longer a prophet organization. Even so, we're no longer prophets. V'anachnu al admat mea. We're on Tamei land. We're in Chutz La'aretz. Remember, prophecy only came to the prophets in Israel. Prophecy only came to the prophets in the land of Israel. Even so, we're on tainted land. Don't worry. Im kol zos lo azav menu chastov menu. So God's kindness and truth has not left us. We're not prophets. Don't worry. We're descendants of prophets. Right? Secret to Jewish success. Lashpi aleinu or elukim, to pour upon us an abundance of light. When? Shabbos, Shabbos, so on Shabbos. We get to a shtickle level of prophecy. That's a feeling on Shabbos. Ubiprat, specifically. Anachnu ayfei agolos amarzeh. We are now very, very tired from this bitter exile that we've been having for thousands of years. Anu motzim meragua. We have this little rest. L'nafshenu asol b'yom haKodesh hazeh. On this day, on this day, we get a little spark of the prophecy. That's where this power comes from, and this gives a little bit of relief from the challenge of the galus and all the anti-Semitism, right? Which is really what galus is about, and Hashem Shechin not being with us, and what we're stuck, and the people around us, all the rest of it. Shabbos, we get a relief from that. There is a little relief from that. Over there, bottom page 19. Nisbarer lanu biru garmashen acharav safek. This, therefore, is going to be an absolute clear gamor, absolute proof. Ki Torah seinu Torah sem, is that God's Torah is true. That's what's going to come to you. through Shabbos, you're going to know the Torah is true as well. Why? V'zel gam ken miteva nefesh u'makor simcha, because the soul comes from a place of simcha. Whatever mitzvahs Hashem shem v'samchei lev, and mitzvahs bring us joy of the heart, the enjoyment, the love, the exile that's been removed from us, puts into a place of simcha. That's what Shabbos is all about. And he says that's what's keeping you away from Torah. Sheshneim chatzuvim makoma or v'simcha. Torah and Shabbos come from the same place. So although he says we are in this dark place on Shabbos, we get to a place where we're able to welcome the Shabbos Queen, and that is going to prove into our hearts proof of God and Torah. And just to finish this off, and then we'll skip a chunk, page 20, and he says that's why we all agree the Torah is given on Shabbos, since the Torah and mitzvahs are only true through Shabbos. So in other words, we're now connecting two things over here. We're connecting Har Sinai with Shabbos, because the Torah was given on Shabbos, he says. Therefore, through Shabbos, it's not just one thing, Har Sinai. He's saying Shabbos now is going to prove what happened at Har Sinai, because the Torah was given on Shabbos. So by keeping Shabbos, you'll appreciate and accept and believe and know there is a thing called Torah and mitzvahs. So Shabbos now has the power to mashpia, put upon us all the mitzvahs, which is probably what Yosef was thinking when he had his boys keeping Shabbos. Okay? So that's the equation we have just made over here. Okay? And this was left for us. We get to visit Har Sinai every single Shabbos. That's the punchline. That is the punchline. And he finishes with beautiful words. He says, just like salt and spices add a taste to a dish, so too the Shabbos gives a taste of the mitzvahs. Beautiful. Page 20, second piece down. And what is that? L'hasir kol ha-sfekot ha-noflim aleihem. All of the doubts that we have about God existing, being in our lives, all of that, he says, can be removed through Shabbos. It's the taste. The mitzvahs sometimes are without taste. That's what he says. You add a little bit of Shabbos in there, and you have a nice, delicious, yummy cholent of belief in God. That's what he says. Just like you have a big pot of food, and you need salt to taste it, so you can have all the mitzvahs in a big pot. You want to taste them, you got to have Shabbos. You don't have Shabbos, you can't taste it. All the other mitzvahs are like a dish without spices. They give you nutrition, but you're not enjoying them. Isn't that beautiful? Say yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
Thank you. Let's jump to page 23. And there was a great scholar by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky. His son, Avdu Ben Chaim L'Chaim, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, is considered one of the great gedolim of our generation. His father, Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, was also known as the Stipler, because he came from a place called Stipel, I believe. And he was known as the Stipler. And he was someone who was a very fiery, very passionate, and very straightforward individual. I'll tell you a quick story about him. It's a very strange story. So maybe I shouldn't say it. He, at the end of his life, was very hard of seeing and hearing. He would hold books right up to his face like this. There's a lot of photos of him, right? So I never got to meet him. I've met Rav Chaim, his son, but I never got to meet him. One of my rabbis did. And he went to see the Stipler, and he walked in. He didn't interrupt him because he still was reading, but he walked in to meet him because people would go to the Stipler with questions and, you know, ask their brachas. But he was very quick. My rabbi was there, and he said he was looking at his book. And he was waiting for him, waiting. And he put the book down, and he went, "Rawr!" His face like that. And he said, "Thank you very much." And he walked out. That was the meeting. The Stipler was known as a great Torah scholar, obviously. He wrote lots of books and lots of information. One thing used to happen was he used to write lots of letters. after he died, I believe, or maybe while he's still alive, they got together all these letters and put them into a book. Okay? One of the letters he had was from a young boy. This young boy, as we're going to see in a moment, wrote to the stipler, and this young boy, we're going to assume, was a yeshiva boy, a regular kid, not a non-observant kid, like a religious kid, wrote to the stipler because he was having problems believing in God. Okay? That was his problem. So the stipler's answer was recorded for all of us to read. Before we get there, let's just do a little introduction, and this is from his book, Chaye Olam, chapter 2, 8. And he says like this, top of the page 23, Shmira Shabbat Kilchato, if a person keeps Shabbos according to its law, right, that means absolutely, Hu Tikkun, it is a fix-up, the kapara, an atonement, l'chait, for the sin, avodah zarah, of idol worship. That is the, by the way, idol worship is considered one of the worst things you can do. The way to fix it is Shabbos. Just keeping Shabbos itself has the power to wipe away your sins. We're all waiting for Yom Kippur. Don't wait. Shabbos does it a nice, easy, more enjoyable way. Right? We'll see why later on, but that's what it does. And he's going to quote the Gemara. Look inside. Kol ha'shomer Shabbos kilchaso, he says, Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah, Kedor Enosh, even if they worship idols at the door of Enosh, the grandson of Adam HaRishon, they were all about Avodah Zarah. That's all they did, day and night. They were obsessed with it. Mochlin lo, you get forgiven. Even if you're like the creators of Avodah Zarah, like you make a business out of it, which is what they were doing, you get forgiven for everything. V'hainu k'mosh kasav Beis Yosef, and he's going to quote the Beis Yosef, Damer Shasat Shuvah, if a person does a sin of Avodah Zarah, even if you do tshuva, a little bit it still sticks in you. Because it holds on to a person, it remains with you a little bit. Right? And it's going to remain with you, heaven forbid. He says, however, second paragraph, but the schut v'ashefa kedusha Shabbos, the holiness of the Sabbath, mitarato v'okeret, it purifies you, and it's going to dig out. It's going to uproot. Shoresh pover rosh lana. Right? It's a quote from this week's parsha, actually. Shal bilbuli avodah zarah. Right? All avodah zarah. And even if tshuva, avodah zarah still sticks with you. It's one of these things that you can kind of get rid of about God completely. You need to have Shabbos to totally wipe it off your soul. He says it's also going to work with machshava kfira. If people have beliefs against Judaism, which are inside you and growing inside you, Shabbos is going to uproot them and get rid of them. Or sveikat be'emunah, or any doubts in belief, in faith, just like, because what is Avodah Zarah? A lack of belief in God, a lack of faith in God. He says, don't worry, just like Shabbos fixes Avodah Zarah, any form of foreign beliefs in our minds and our souls, keep Shabbos, it's going to uproot it. Okay? That's what it does. Let's have a look at this letter of the stipler. Okay? To this young boy. And he says like this, bottom page 23. Bedava Baruch Achad, there was once a young boy, Shinistapech v'sveikus, who got very involved in his mind of sveikus, be'emuna, in belief, v'schava onesh, in reward and punishment. You know what I'm saying? Different things like that. You got this religious kid, and he goes, well, it's probably most religious kids nowadays, at some point they're like, is this all true? Is what we're doing true? Right? Is there a God? Did God give us the Torah? Right? Did God take us out of Egypt and all these other things? And this was upsetting this poor boy. So he said, he wrote to the stipler and wanted an answer to this. Now, what would you think the stipler would say? What would you think a person would say? Write to a great rabbi, say, I'm having trouble believing in God. What would a rabbi do? What would I do? Some kid writes to me and says, dear rabbi, I'm having trouble believing in God. Right? What would I answer? Because that's how all young boys sound, like Tiny Tim. Right? He's like, help me. Right? What do you answer this young boy? You say, well, number one thing I would tell a young boy to do is learn Torah. Right? Torah is Hashem's blueprint for the world. Right? It's Hashem's prophecy via Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, start there. I don't know, or take him to a cliff, show him a beautiful sunset. Ah, look at God's creation. That's also okay. You can see God through creation as well as the Rambam. The best way is through Torah. He doesn't tell him to do either of those things. The first thing the Stipler tells this young boy to do is the following. Look inside. He said, this is wild stuff. Come from the Stipler, right? The leader of the generation. He says, Eitzah Tviyot Ein Lezeh. I can't give you any rational understanding, any common sense advice. Rak Eitzot Zuguliot. I can just give you meritorious deeds. Hayechad, number one, to believe in God. Who? Shmir Shabbos Kilchaso. Keep the Shabbos. That's number one. It's wild. Keep Shabbos, you keep Shabbos. Go to shul. You got to daven a little bit. You come home. Sing some songs. Welcome to Malachim. Have a nice dinner. Talk a little bit of Torah. Sing songs with your kids. Look at the Parsha sheet about Avram Avinu and Sarah Menu with your six-year-old. And go to bed. Wake up. And go to shul. Hey, Chris, a Torah. Right. Learn a little bit. Come home. Eat a nice big fat chulent. Hang out. Take a shluff. Learn some Torah again. Go to a class. Daven Mincha. Surah Shlishis. A little bit more Torah. Havdalah. Well, that's going to fix it. I said, I don't believe in God. What's a cholent going to do? Prove it to me. He says, I can't do that. Believe me, if he wanted to, he could have. He says, it's not really going to fix this problem. We're going to go deep. He says, you've got to keep Shabbos, bedikdukav upratav, in all of its details. You've got to really keep it. V'hainu, what does that mean? Shilamed heitev shulchan aruch. You got to learn the shulchan aruch well. Ima Mishnah Brura with the Mishnah Brura. Adshe baki b'maorot, you're an expert in the laws of Shabbos. Wait, laws of Shabbos? What's got to do with God? We don't even mention. We learn laws. You don't even mention God. It's all technical laws. No problem. But going to add v'lamed. Now the learning of these laws al menat is on condition l'kayem kol hakatuv. When you learn these laws of Shabbos, you got to do it in order to. Got to learn in order to do it. You're not learning some academic way. You could learn it academically. The laws of Shabbos, there's a rationale to it. You can't plow, you can't write. Right, how to do it, what represents plowing. There's a lot of details over there. God willing, we shall learn these next semester. He's excited. Fabulous. The gum, he says, I'm going to add to this. Lo ledaber devarim betelim. Don't talk nonsense on Shabbos. B'Shabbos, zulos hechuk, accept words you really need to. Don't waste your words. Don't waste your words with nonsense. V'kol shekein, how much more so? Shalo likro itunim, don't read newspapers. Right? Pick up a Shabbos or secular books on Shabbos. Rak, all you could do on Shabbos is lasog basuda. You're either eating, shena, sleeping, or lasog batorah, you're learning Torah. He says, you do those three. Eating delicious food. And all the mitzvahs that come with eating those foods and the kiddush and the lechem mishnah and all the rest of it. Or you're sleeping. Or you're learning Torah. Bam, you're there. That's it. You're going to be a God believer. So weird. That's it. Look at page 24. Look at the guarantee of the stipler. I'm just telling you what he says. Don't shoot the messenger. He says, uvu meshach zman katzar, in a very short amount of time, Lefi erach yirav niflot, amazing things. Shekol hasfekos. Suddenly, all of your doubts that you had, which you thought were in your mind, einam ababalim otoklal, are going to upset you at all. They're going to disappear. Oh, by the way, afal pi shadayin loyim satirus. Even though all of your doubts have not been answered with rational answers, ken hu b'mitziot. And you're doing this for Shem Shemayim. You're not keeping Shabbos just to, you know, make your parents happy or to make the rabbi happy. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for the sake of heaven. By the way, the Shem Shemayim means I'm having trouble with my belief. I'm going to keep Shabbos to fix my belief. That's okay. That's considered a Shem Shemayim. Right? I don't really want to do it. It's a pain. But I'm going to do it because I want to improve my belief, my knowledge of God, my. So I'm going to keep Shabbos for an ulterior motive. But the ulterior motive is not because, you know, I don't want to, you know. But I'm doing it because I want to increase my emunah. That's okay. It's going to help. Aval im kavanahu rak lakel sanafshi. But if the only reason you're doing Shabbos and learning about Shabbos, keeping Shabbos, because you know it's upsetting you, okay, just to remove the tsar from your soul, ain ze mol kimat klum, ain't going to help. You've got to do it for the right reasons. You've got to keep Shabbos because you want to do it. Kevan she'ein l'shem shemayim. Because it's not l'shem shemayim, it's not going to work. Vahu, look what he says, bold print. Vahu baduk, and this is checked and known. Shalidei zeh, through the Shabbos, zoichin l'tarat emunah. You will have a purity of faith. Emunah is going to come to you. For 1 second, we said emunah is knowledge, it's understanding, it's appreciating our past. Look at Jewish history, is that. And it's this. And it's this. That's what Shabbos can do, says the stifler. V'kai gavna amru chazal. This is why the rabbi would say, kol hashom is Shabbos gilchato, afilu oved azorka dor enosh, mochen lo. Why is this going to help? Because avodah zara is the problem. Shabbos is the answer. Says, why would it be? Because Shabbos is emunah. Shabbos is Har Sinai. It is absolute belief and truth. You have that, you get forgiven. Ukfira hu ke'in avodah zara. And non-belief is like avodah zara, Rachman san. It all goes away. Shabbos has the power to make you into a believing, connected, observant Jew. That's just what it does. It takes you to that place. Any questions? Because we finished off our chapter. Yes. So seemingly, Shabbos is reserved. The question was, why can we not do secular reading on Shabbos? So the answer is, one shouldn't do that. Because Shabbos is meant to be a place of just God and Torah. It's a very personal place. I'll give you an analogy. You're talking to your husband, having a very intimate conversation, and he takes out a magazine and starts reading it. Okay? What's he saying to you? He's like, I'm listening, but I'm in the magazine. If you're in this intimate place, it takes you away from what you're meant to be doing. Torah doesn't do that. Torah connects us to Hashem. So that's okay. That's okay. But secular stuff on Shabbos, we try not to do. We try not to do. Okay? That is the halacha, yes. Yes. Any other questions? Anything we discussed so far? So we found two drachm over here. We found two ways that Shabbos affects emunah. One is through the knowledge, the understanding of what happened in the past, the emunah, the umrah. You work at it, you've got to grow in your belief, you've got to daven for it. And the other is, just Shabbos takes care of it for you. It's the easy pass through. You don't need to stand in the cash lane, because Hashem's paying for Shabbos. You go straight, easy pass. Hashem's got your tag. You're straight through. I like that. Okay. Let's move on to the next chapter.